Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Wake up, Hollywood.
I wasn't very enthusiastic.
While I was waiting for the cockadoodle-doo, I don't know why I didn't. See? I can't start until that happens.
You know what? That was like your caffeine for the show.
It was.
You were like, wake up, Hollywood. Well, if you were my alarm, that would probably get a punch in the gut.
It is 8 o'clock at night. I assume everybody's awake Hollywood. Already.
How are you, Mr. Sexy Vegan,
I'm
Mr. Brian
fine.
Patton?
Yes, I am here. I'm here. Vegan chef, cookbook author. Yes, that's me.
That's right. Vegan.
Yes, that's correct.
Would you consider yourself, you like a vegan chef, or would you say a vegetarian?
No, vegan. All vegan. All vegan all the time.
So you refuse.
I refuse.
To use any animal products.
Absolutely. 100%. Not even honey. I don't even use honey.
That's good because the bees are like, you know, getting raped for that, right?
That's right. Yeah. We need the bees.
They are the bees' knees.
They are the bees' knees. The knees of the bees. But yes. So I consider myself, vegan 100%.
It's so crazy because it's kind of, I guess, like my friends knowing like the sober Nikki versus party Nikki.
Oh, sure.
Because I haven't had, you know, I don't drink or party anymore.
Right.
But it's like, I know the I'll eat anything, Brian.
that's true.
I will not eat any animal products, Brian.
That's true. And I never knew the not, you know, the unsober Nikki. So you.
He was a guest.
You know the full spectrum.
He was a real guest.
I'll bet.
Yes.
So you know the full spectrum me. So lucky you.
You don't miss it at all, right?
Huh? No, no.
So you probably feel the same way about that I feel about partying.
Probably. Yeah. I mean, it's just, and in fact, I was doing this survey today for this company. It's called Beyond Meat. They make these vegan meats, chicken and ground beef and stuff. And I have like a relationship with the company. I'm like, I'm not a spokesperson, but like I'm a blogger and stuff. They send me stuff. They ask me about the products, my opinion, all this.
And you're honest? Are you like, this is not good?
Yes. Well, their stuff is good. But they asked me about, they're doing this new ground beef. They have this new burger, which is really, it's so realistic, like beef. It's insane.
Wow,
so they're asking,
really?
Yeah, it's crazy. So they're asking, they're going to come out with this, like, it's like raw ground beef, like a, you know, like a brick of raw ground beef. And they were at, you know, they said, well, what do you think of this product? Like, having not tasted it, but the idea of it. And I was like, well, I probably wouldn't buy it because I don't care to have a dish that used to have ground beef in it. Like, I don't want ground beef tacos anymore. I like beans and vegetables.
What about chili?
I would like a chili for a hot dog or something.
Yeah.
Love that. But like a chili, like I like beans in my chili and like tempeh and spices and vegetables. Like, I just don't care for that because there are ground beef alternatives out there and I never buy them just because I look at them. I'm like, well, what would I make with that? Tacos?
See,
I'd rather have veggie
my
tacos.
My mom used to make, she still does, mincemeat. Like it's an English Indian kind
of. Right,
right. And it's so good.
That's something I've never had. Maybe I would try that with, you know, but everything that I know.
And what's it made with?
It's pea protein mostly.
You lost me at pea protein.
Their stuff is pretty excellent. I mean, I didn't come here to do an advertisement for
No, that's okay. Yeah,
but,
you're here, you know.
But I'm just saying, talk. Like, my palate has changed. Like, I'm not interested in a dish that contains ground beef. I'm like, would I make a shepherd's pie out of it? No, I like my lentil shepherd's pie that I make.
I'm fascinated by it because I knew the old Brian versus the new Brian.
Right.
And you're like really anti-meat now.
It's I mean, it's horrible in every way. I mean, we don't want to get into that. We're trying to have a fun show here. I could get it, make it really not fun.
No, don't do that.
Don't make me buzzkill. Nice. I already had buzzkill news.
I like my meat.
Oh, my good friend. I think his name is Paul. I know all the cows. Yeah, but yeah, there was some bummer news that I saw on the way in here. Which
what was the bummer news?
Alan Thicke passed away.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Robin Thicke's dad?
Yes.
Growing pains?
Growing pains, Alan.
Dude, he wasn't even that old.
69. Had a heart attack playing hockey with his kid.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Dude.
I don't know why I just brought that up. I just saw it on the news. That's such
right
a bummer.
Before Christmas.
Sorry.
No, that is a bummer.
But yeah, it's a total bummer. Total bummer. That show, I grew up watching that
pains.
Show.
He's just, you know what? I don't know if you saw it, but I'm like hooked on this show, This Is Us.
Oh, I've been hearing about
it's
this show.
It's an amazing
show,
and he was on the first episode.
Oh, no way.
So it's kind of a shock that he's out of commission. That's crazy.
Yeah. I've been hearing about this Is Us show. Yeah.
Dude, it's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not into TV dramas.
Right, me neither.
I like superhero stuff. Uh-huh. I like mystery stuff. But you know what? I just stumbled on the show, and I watched the first episode. And I was like, this is crazy. It's so good.
Yeah, everybody's talking about it.
And it's amazing. I mean, it really is. Like, you just get...
am I going to cry?
You're not going to cry, but you're going to be on the verge of, like, emotional depth. Emotional depth.
I don't want that.
You may reach for a Kleenex or a blanket.
I was reaching for a Kleenex after I watched... I just watched that Batman versus Superman movie. It was horrible.
That's terrible.
So bad.
Dude, you just saw that?
Yeah. It was on HBO.
Like
I'm like, all right, I'll watch this.
I know.
That's how I watch things.
That movie is
so bad.
So terrible.
Well, first of all, I didn't like the Superman movie with that new guy.
No, it's terrible.
It was terrible.
Too. DC,
because I loved Superman 2, the original with Christopher Reeves, General Zod, like that guy who played General Zod, Terrence Stamp, was like brilliant.
Yeah,
and this whole new thing just wasn't
it's
working.
Terrible.
And I'm like, all right, Batman Superman.
I don't
I'll
even
give it a
care
shot.
About giving away the ending, but it's like. Superman and Batman are fighting.
Oh, God.
And they're just
it's the worst.
Wait, your mom's name is Martha? My mom's name is Martha, too.
They
so dumb.
They have an enormous budget on this movie. Big names, special effects. They couldn't get a better writer to figure out some other way to make them stop fighting and be friends that their moms had the same name.
Honestly, this is
the worst plot device I've ever seen.
I agree.
For a movie that big, are you kidding me?
That's what's wrong with Hollywood. You have Suits.
Wake up, Hollywood. What are you doing?
That's right. I'm sure some suit was like, hey, my mom's name is Martha. Why don't we make parallel these two people's names are Martha? And that's why.
And there was probably some writer who was like, no, I actually have a really much better idea. No. It's easier this way.
And the craziest thing is like how much money, how much marketing goes into such a shitty idea.
Yeah.
You know, I saw BFG. You know,
I've heard of that. I have not seen
Steven Spielberg.
Right.
Steven Spielberg.
I know. I don't see movies very
often. The most prominent director in Hollywood, I would say. I'd say he's the most. That guy has not made a fantastic movie in a long time. And that movie sucked.
Oh, yeah. That's too bad.
Bad.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. I'm like, how are you this bad of an artist?
I wonder what happens. What happens there?
I think it's complacency. I think they stop getting hungry. I think they start getting, you know.
Yeah, and maybe also the studios change because they don't seem to be interested in making really good original movies or a remake or a sequel.
You know, Shawshank Redemption was almost not made.
Oh my God,
it was passed on so many times.
It's one of the best movies.
You know what? The funny thing is, I've been watching a lot of Director's Chair. It's one of my favorite shows.
What is this? Where do I see that?
It's you can get it on YouTube. You can look at Netflix. I can't remember what. I think it's on the Sundance Network.
Okay,
some network. Anyways, it's behind the scenes of directors, and they just interview directors. It's Robert, I can't remember his name. It's Robert Rodriguez.
Oh, okay, right.
And he
Desperado
interviews,
guy.
Yeah. So he interviews all these directors.
He's a cool guy.
And he's super cool. It's actually his network that shows the show.
Okay.
And so it's not the Sundance.
It's not
network,
Sundance.
It's something else.
Yeah.
But and he interviews all these great directors like Robert Zemeckis, and he goes through all their movies.
Yeah.
He went to Frank Darabont and he did Shawshank, he did Green Mile, he did Walking Dead.
Right.
And they talk about what it took to make these movies, the struggles, the obstacles, the cool things you didn't know about.
Right.
And you know what? It blew my mind that Stephen King wrote Green Mile.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
I did know that. I love that movie.
And I didn't know that he wrote Shawshank too. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
So I actually sent Stephen King an email on Facebook.
I think, okay.
Just saying, oh my God, I'm looking at all the movies that you have inspired.
Right.
You are like the greatest writer, I think, ever.
Yeah,
I
mean, it's pretty brilliant. Yeah, I mean, Green Mile is a masterpiece.
Dude.
Yeah.
Dude, all of his movies. Yeah. So, yeah, it's just.
What did he email back to you?
He didn't email.
Oh, really?
Back, but it didn't matter. I just wanted him. I just wanted to send it out into the universe.
Yeah, no, that's
you know,
cool.
Usually I'll do that, and then I'll end up meeting him somehow. It's really strange.
Oh, interesting.
So I always like throw it out there,
right?
And then maybe take a year and a half, and then I'll like end up in some crazy circumstance where I can actually.
And I love that you do that. Even though, like, they're probably not going to respond.
Yeah, of course.
Here's the thing. Like, whenever a celebrity dies, you go on Twitter and everybody's, like, gushing over them. I'm like, why didn't you do that three days ago? Like, like he could have he or she could have appreciated that. And it always makes me so sad when I see people saying how much this person changed their lives. And, like, it's too late.
It's
like, so I kind of do sometimes make it a point. If I'm inspired, if I'm watching, like, a Steve Martin movie, I'll tweet at Steve Martin. I know he's not going to. But I'll be like, yeah, I'm just watching the Steve Martin movie. This guy is an inspiration to me. He's just been like a constant thing in my life.
He's the real deal.
And I love him. So I do that, like, I do that stuff because I see people getting eulogized really nicely, but they're already dead.
Yes. No, you got
But I think that's very cool that, like, maybe he saw it.
Brian, you're a wonderful person. I really appreciate you.
Ah, thank you so much. I can die happy now. If you're lucky, I'll die right here. And that'll be
Our special guest has arrived.
Oh,
this wonderful, wonderful holiday greetings with my co-host.
Yes.
But let's welcome Miss Jessie Hansen.
Hello. Great.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
I like your blue guitar. Man, that's cool.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's pretty nice.
It's very blue. Do you play blues on it?
I do not.
That was a really corny question. I'm sorry. I should be shocked.
Do you play that song, I'm blue, do da ba dee da 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 ba da? You probably don't know that song.
No.
And we're all out of time.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
You started with the whole thing.
I know, I did.
I shouldn't have.
No, it's actually one of my favorite blues. That's a royal blue.
It's very nice.
And it's almost getting into the midnight blue. That's what I like about it. Very
cool. It kind of matches your scarf, too, actually. Was that planned?
It can be.
Yeah.
She's like,
blue and gold. You have gold strings, blue guitar. We're talking all visual things, which is great for
radio. Let's talk about music. Yeah. Jesse, tell us where you're from. How did you get into music?
I'm originally from Ashland, Massachusetts, which is a suburb of Boston. And I've been playing violin since I was 3.5 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
3.5?
Yeah.
Do you remember
that?
Do you remember the first time you played? Yeah, you don't, right?
No, I remember having to hold a cereal box and a stick.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and it's like it's always been a part of me. Like, I literally can't remember my life without music.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I've been playing violin for a really long time, classically trained, and then I started playing rock music when I was a teenager.
What did your parents think of that?
They let me quit orchestra so that I could be in a rock band.
No kidding. That sounds like a very familiar story.
Yeah, I started in classical music too.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, I started singing opera when I was really young and studied opera all through college. I didn't get into rock and roll until college though. As soon as I got into college, then I was like, oh my God.
It's so
I always loved rock and roll. But I didn't get into playing.
You're probably like, this is way easier too.
Yeah,
it's more fun and easier.
It's more fun. It's definitely more fun.
Oh,
it's like
the
people you work with. It's just a different.
Right.
It's a different thing.
Totally. Yeah.
So definitely. Your parents were cool with it.
Oh, like, absolutely. Yeah, I have a very musical family.
Great.
Yeah.
So that's great.
Very, very good.
Are they like, you're a little flat on that one measure?
No, my parents are both like folk musicians.
Okay.
So they don't give me crap about like being in tune or technique, but my dad will always like, he'll be like, you know, you should really work on the feel of that.
I like that. Yeah. I like that. I think that's more important.
We need
you
to kind
of
calm down.
Yeah. He used to think that I was really stiff and I've been like working really hard on like getting shuffles down and stuff.
That's
like
crazy.
That.
So tell me, like, what was the music climate like in Massachusetts compared to now you're in L.A.?
Yeah, very different, as you can imagine.
That's right.
Yeah.
How long have you been here?
I just moved here. I've been here for almost a year.
Oh, okay.
All right. Still kind of new.
Yeah.
And back in Boston, I was very much a part of like the folk singer songwriter circuit out there, which has been really really fostered by Berklee College of Music too. Yeah. A lot of musicians out in that area, but. You know, it's everybody knows everybody in a lot of ways. Like, if you
it's
know,
it's a much smaller city than you think. That's what
about. It is. It is.
Yeah, and especially for music, it's just like as soon as you get into a circuit, you know everybody in that circuit, and especially because I had been raised on classical music, I knew a lot of people in the classical music circuit, and then I switched over to I played Irish music and Scottish music and bluegrass and stuff, so I met a lot of people that way too, and so there's like all these little different music communities in Boston, and they're very, very small and very friendly, and everybody's like very supportive, and it's really cool. And then you know,
and you're like, in LA is not really like that at all.
You're like a lone wolf. My neighbors don't even smile at me.
My neighbor's actually really nice.
Oh,
I like my neighbors
lucky
a lot.
You.
There you go. See?
Yeah. No, I mean, I've been lucking out hardcore this year just in terms of the people that I've met. And you know, maybe I'm kind of just like used to the whole like small town vibe. And,
sure.
And when I came out here, I was like, well, obviously LA is not going to be anything like Boston, and people are going to be, you know, in it for themselves, and you know, everybody, it's kind of like it can be a rat race sometimes, and I know my brother's been out here for 7 years, and I know that he's had some kind of difficult experiences working in the music industry, but I came out here, and I've just met some really, really wonderful folks, and some really, and I've, like, made some really nice, you know, communities, too.
That's why LA is the best, honestly.
It's
it really
cool.
is. It took me, like, I'm from LA,
mm-hmm.
and for a long time I was like, oh man, the people are just, they're just crazy.
Right.
They're like a little stuck up, a little bit, you know, but like, once you find your
find
scene,
groove,
you're like, okay,
yeah.
cool.
Yeah. yeah.
But then, like, I started traveling around to other cities.
Yeah.
And I realized, oh my God, LA is the best. You have to find those people. But when you find those people, it is the best city.
Yeah.
Because you have so many people that come from other places.
Totally.
So it's like, it's not homogenous. It's like, it's really diverse. And you have so many artists.
Right.
And you have so many different styles of music. And so many different art forms are challenged and also supported here. It's very, really vibrant. Like, more than, I think, a lot of cities.
Yeah.
Boston is up there, though. I mean, Boston, New York, Chicago.
Yeah.
Those cities are also doing the same way. But the difference is, Boston is much smaller. It's much smaller than I thought it would
be. Yeah.
When I went out there.
I got lost in Boston for about 3 hours driving around in circles. I was trying to get to like a little suburb outside of Boston.
Uh-huh.
And you don't have a grid there.
No.
It's all, the streets are like all circles and weird. It's horrible.
Yeah. If you don't know the city.
I didn't.
Yeah. It sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. It took me 3 hours to get somewhere that was like 10 minutes away.
I mean, you can walk
the city in
3 hours.
I was walking, driving around in circles.
It's
driving
amazing.
Around in circles. I could not find anything.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You know what? It's probably easier to walk.
Maybe.
And take the trains. Because that's
probably
how I learned the city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I never went.
But
back.
I did drive there too.
Yeah.
Just saying.
All right. Well,
maybe you're just.
I'm probably just dumb. Is what you're saying.
I didn't want to say it.
No. I understand. I understand.
Kidding.
I was also in college.
All right. So you started playing in a rock band in high school.
Yeah.
And were you writing original music then? When did you get the itch to write original music?
Yeah, my best friend at the time was the guitarist, and it came about like really organically where I sent him a riff that I wrote on guitar. I was like, this is cool. I bet you can do something cool with it. And then he like wrote me like a line of poetry back, and then I started singing it over the thing, and that was kind of like how our first song came about. And ever since then, the roles actually reversed where he would write the guitar parts, and then I would write the entire melody and lyrics and stuff like that. And I like didn't even realize what I was doing. I didn't realize that I was like a songwriter until I was doing it on my own. You know, I just was like, I'm just in a band and this is fun.
This is what we do.
Yeah, this is just what we do. This is like how we spend our Saturdays.
I mean, it really is kind of like it's like a path that you don't realize is there.
Yeah.
When you start like walking those steps, like, oh yeah, I can easily rhyme these rhymes, and oh, I actually like using grammar. I didn't like grammar when I was in school, but now I love grammar. Like, I love words.
Mm. So is there a part that's sort of scarier for you, or at the beginning, was it, like, writing lyrics or coming up with guitar parts? What was scarier or more of a challenge?
Well, definitely lyrics is, it continues to be much more of a struggle for me than to write the music, because I'm an instrumentalist, and it comes really naturally to me. And I mean, if I had the time, I mean, I could write like albums and upon albums of instrumental music. Uh-huh. I've written so many tunes. And lyrics really is, it's interesting because some people are just like natural poets, and you know, I admire them so much, and I really strive to, you know, my whole motto is like, just don't write anything dumb. You know, like, I'm not gonna be like, oh baby girl, you're my world. Like,
oh, that's not bad.
Oh, I hate it.
I wrote something very similar last
night. Oh gosh. And it's like, you
don't
know,
steal my stuff.
Sometimes that like works for some genres of music, but it just like, you know, I have to write something that I'm okay with, with sharing it. And sometimes lyrics do really come very easily, and I'll have those nights where I'm like, oh my god, there's, you know, something's going on in my life and I just need to sit down and just like flesh it out,
right?
And it turns into sometimes they turn into these songs that like a couple of years later I'll listen back to them and then I'll learn something from them. You know, it's kind of weird how it works out.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, but it can definitely be a little bit frustrating when I have like a, you know, an entire track written. Like, I have the chords, I have the structure, I have the melody line, even. Mm-hmm. I can play the whole thing on fiddle and whatever. But now I just gotta find the right.
You're like, what am I gonna sing about?
Right.
Yeah.
What's the subject? Yeah. Let's talk about love.
And a lot of times it's like, you know, I take cues from the music. It's like, what is this?
What
does
this sound like?
Yeah.
What is this? What's the feeling that you get from it?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. 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 So it has to, you know, it can't be dumb.
Right. And there's probably, you know,
That's a good sticker right
you probably there. Have like half written songs, three quarter written songs that just you like, couldn't finish or couldn't figure out like the bridge or something like that.
The struggle of my life. But I'll take it. It's not a bad struggle to have.
No, and sometimes those songs will take a little bit longer to kind of find their way. But don't give up on them, all right?
No.
They could be your big strength. Yeah.
Wow.
See that?
That was probably the most impressive
sound
effect.
That's the one
that you said you worked the word strike into the thing. I'm sorry.
That was good. I'm impressing you with my strong sound.
You should,
soundboard.
You know what?
Release.
You should probably quit while you're ahead and don't do any more sound effects.
That's it. That's not going to happen, though.
I know. Can't hurt to try. Thought maybe we have a Christmas
Let's get to
miracle.
A song. What are you going to play us first?
Okay, so I figured that I'm going to start on the darker side of things, and then we'll lighten up maybe a little bit.
All right.
And this was one of those songs that I was talking about where I just kind of sat down in one night and fleshed it out because I just...
How long did it take?
Oh, it took like... an hour, hour and a half, or something like that. And this is as close to the blues as it gets.
All right, I like it.
What is it called?
It's called Collapse.
Collapse. All right, let's do it.
All right. Something's got to give. Something's got to change. I feel like I'm stuck here, wasting my days away. And I'm just like a bridge on the verge of collapse. I feel like the last straw that breaks the camel's back. Tell me something good. Help me to relax. I don't mean to be rude. Just need to clean up my act. And I need to lose me.
Something's gotta give. Something's gotta change before I keep these habits that only worsen with age. And I'm just laying by, growing in the dark. I just need to unwind and untangle from the
So you said that that song came to you very quickly.
Yeah.
So can you track back to what you were experiencing at the time?
You know, it's actually kind of funny. Because I had just been in L.A. I was visiting my brother, and we were doing a bunch of work. And in L.A., I felt very, very needed and important. If that makes it, because I was getting a lot of like studio string work, and that's what I love doing. Mm-hmm. That I love working with people. That's what I want to do. You know, that's and I was like 17 at the time, and I was like, wow, oh my gosh, career. and then I had to fly back home, and I remember I flew back home. It was like the middle of winter. It was dark and cold, and then my mom was like yelling at me, and I felt so stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where that song came about, was like, you know, just like feeling like I could have this really cool alternative life, right. And I'm not doing that right now, and right. I'm here instead.
Yeah.
Are you in Dadgad by chance?
I am.
I was going to say Dadgad.
Sure you were.
I was.
Wow. I'm impressed. Yeah.
I love the chords you're playing.
Yeah. Thank you.
I heard them and I was like, oh man, those are dope.
Very nice.
Yeah. Like, that's got to be Dadgad.
Great vibe.
I see the drop D. I'm like, oh yeah, that's definitely. I love that tuning. It's a Celtic tuning.
Exactly. Yeah that's where I got it.
Oh, I didn't
it
know that.
Yeah, yeah. See.
All right. Well, I'm not a professional
yet.
No,
that's all right. That's all right. No, that's actually where it came from.
Oh, okay.
That's mm-hmm. where a lot of cool. Celtic folk tunes are all right. tuning. That's Excellent. Why I like it so much.
Yeah, yeah.
You ever tried D-A-D-G-A-F-sharp?
D-A-F-sharp?
D-A-D-G-A-F-sharp.
Oh, G-A-F-sharp.
So just changing the last?
Whoa.
It's going to rock your world.
Ooh.
It's going to change your latitude.
Wow.
It's a Nick Drake tuning. It's awesome. It's awesome.
Cool.
So that's my fancy Dadgad. Wow. Their chords are really cool, like on Dadgad, you know, because there's like like blocks where you can do chords, but when you get to the F sharp, you get this other sound that you're just like, oh!
Which one is the F sharp?
The high E.
The high E. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to try that one at home.
It's very cool.
I'm trying that one.
Very cool. All right, so tell us, like, what are your favorite ways to write? Like, are you writing autobiographically? Are you writing, like, objectively?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of depends on the project, too, because I'm working on a couple different things right now. And, you know, as a folk singer-songwriter, I refuse to write about things that I don't know about, because it's very unauthentic that way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the whole culture of folk singer-songwriting is those intimate venues where you really get to connect with people. So it just doesn't make sense to write about things that aren't real.
Right.
Which are
especially right now. Like, it's...
Yeah.
Everybody's on their cell phone. They're connected to an iPad or a computer.
Right. Definitely,
and something like music, it's such a real
thing. Takes you out of that, yeah.
Takes you out of that. So
yeah,
yes,
well, especially with these, like, organic acoustic instruments and stuff like that. I feel like that's what it calls for. And you know, the other thing, too, is that it's like, you know, that doesn't mean that, like, pop music... You know, pop music can totally be escapist, but I feel like, you know, for me as a songwriter, everything I do has to feel like cathartic.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's just the way that I've been rolling for a while. So, you know, that being said, it's like the writing process can be very different, and you know, sometimes I'll write. If this makes sense, I'll write autobiographically, but maybe from the standpoint of someone else.
Mm. Autobiographically objective.
You know, just like, wow. just to kind of like
making words up.
Just to kind of like stand outside yourself and, you know, still talking about real things.
For me, I always write bridges like that. Like, I'll be in the pain or in the situation or in the story. And then my bridge is like, take yourself out. Find the solution. Yeah. Everything's going to be cool. Yeah. So, like, it's... I usually find that redemption in, like, the different section of the song. That's funny.
Totally.
Are you touring? Are you playing any venues?
I'm not touring, but I play a residency in West Hollywood just at a little wine room.
What's it called?
V Wine Room in West Hollywood. It's on Westbourne Drive. And I play there, like, roughly every other Sunday.
Awesome.
It's pretty relaxed. It's a great little setting, especially if you like wine.
I do. I like that.
Brian's like, I do.
I do.
Where can I sign up?
Yeah, no, it's great. It's great. And the staff there is just phenomenal. I really like playing with them. Yeah, so that's kind of like my main gig, because I've been working on a lot of different projects. My musical upbringing is so all over the place, and I really love so many different styles of music. You know, in order to feel like satisfied as a human being, I need to like write in as many styles as I can, and work with a lot of people in that regard too. So like right now I'm kind of in the works of like a straight up folk singer songwriter, you know, a little like EP thing, and it's pretty low key, you know, just doing it to do it, you know.
Are you getting any inspiration from like the political goings on in the world these days? Because I feel like we're at a place where like you know, as in the '60s, some awesome music came out of all that sort of political ridiculousness, and we're about to, in my opinion, delve into that type of ridiculousness where we need some, you know, really moving music because we kind of don't have that much of that right now in the mainstream anyway.
Question.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting question because it's like, how could I, like, as a human being and an American, like, not be aware and sensitive of what's going on? And I also used to be like a huge political science junkie in high school. I like did a semester at Georgetown for fun and like my summers, you know. It was like
wow.
You know, and I like I met Bernie Sanders when I was 15.
Oh,
wow.
And
I used to throw apples at trucks when I was in the summer for fun, so that's much smarter. But wait, you met Bernie Sanders? Nobody got hurt.
When I was 15, through the Junior State of America, which is like a debate organization that I was like super, super into. And I actually, when I was applying to colleges, like I got into college as a poli sci major, but then when it actually came time to like go, I was like, I don't want to do this.
Right.
You know, it's fun to talk about and it's mm-hmm. fun to discuss, but nobody likes to listen. And my standpoint on it, you know, is there's already so much noise. You know, there's already so much noise going on. And maybe it's not the most responsible thing to do as, you know, an artist or whatever, but I feel like I don't even want to contribute to it. I just don't. I really don't.
Right.
'Cause everything that's needed to be said has already been said in a lot of ways. And after the election, I turned my Facebook off 'cause it's just like everybody has an opinion.
Yeah.
And
isn't it crazy? Everybody gets like keyboard gangster style. Like,
Well,
my opinion matters.
Right,
so
right. And everybody's seeing two different types of news that's happening. Yeah. Like it's almost pointless to get on there and try to have a debate with somebody because they have their own facts and I have my own facts, although mine shouldn't be in quotes. But anyway, I was doing air
quotes.
Look
cute when you do the little bunny.
It doesn't work for radio. But yeah, so I get what you're saying, that you don't want to add to it because, you know, it's like the people who need to hear it probably aren't going to hear it and aren't going to listen to it. Like if you're saying, you know, what you're
I just say
is.
Nuke them. Just nuke them all.
I'm ready with the flamethrower. Let's go.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a really interesting time. And, you know, and like everybody is totally entitled to do what they want. And you can post everything you want on Facebook. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's like you don't change people's minds by yelling at them. And I don't want to do that through my music either.
Ah.
And I'm not like a kumbaya kind of singer.
Right.
You know, like obviously I write a lot about like relationships and stuff like that. And I've tried to, you know, use my music as a vehicle to bring awareness to things. I did a whole campaign about heroin addiction back in Massachusetts. And I did like a music video for that. I wrote a song about it. You know, we worked with a bunch of organizations there. So it's like, you know, it's not out of the question to want to contribute to the conversation through music. But this is just a conversation that I just don't want to be a part of. Yeah.
It's tough. It's delicate. Especially when Bush was in office, it made me want to write songs that were like anti-war.
Yeah.
But not with this like, I'm going to protest kind of vibe. It's like, I'm going to do it with world music that people are going to want to dance to. I'll disguise it with that. But with Trump, who's such a loud person, you feel like you have to like be really loud.
Be louder.
Louder than Trump. Right. And it's like, that's not very appealing.
It's not going to come off well.
It'll just sound like a bunch of people yelling at each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, let's get to one of your songs.
All right.
Your studio tracks.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you want to play us first?
Let's do the happy one.
Okay.
Which is Mr.
They don't
Anonymous.
Have descriptions here. Oh, okay, Mr. Anonymous. Yeah. All right. Doesn't say Mr. Anonymous, quote the happy one. All right. Okay, let's do it.
Stay. Oh, Mr. Anonymous, I wanna show you. say goodbye. So you help me make my wish come true. Mr. Anonymous, my mind is unanimous with what my heart believes we should do. And I know you might get away. Oh, but in my heart you'll stay. Oh, cause Mr. Anonymous, you make me feel so brand new. I think I'm in love with you.
Like she was like cueing us.
Yeah.
And we're on. Yeah.
She's like, you guys stop bullshitting. This song's almost over. You got to hit the turn mics back on.
No, like I was saying, it sounds very like Feist. Yeah. Like it's got a lot of Feist influence. Your first track that you played us had a lot of KT Tunstall influence. I don't know if you ever heard.
Yeah,
that.
No, I like her a lot.
And you know why I like both those artists so much? So I'm like digging your songs. I'm like, this is great. This is stuff I love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Your arrangements are really cool. Like, tell us how you came up with the brass section,
drum
section arrangement.
Well, this is like a really simple 3-chord song. And when I first started writing it, I was kind of like thinking like, okay, let's take the most simple structure of a song and just have fun with it. And I used to play trumpet and trombone in high school, and I love brass and I love the way it sounds. There's a brass on a couple of the tracks in the album, and I did all the arranging for that. And for this one, I mean, it just seemed really natural. And Tom Dupre on trumpet, he like came in with like he was like, what do you want for like the solo in here? And I told him to just go for whatever. And like the next thing I know, like he's kind of going into like a New Orleans kind
of. That was a lot of fun to listen to. Yeah,
yeah, it was fun. It was a really fun process. And like the both the Giuseppe on trombone and Tom, they were like really fun to work with. And yeah, and it's fun.
It's just awesome.
It's fun to when you have like a little brass section in your living room.
You're like, yeah, let's do it.
And when you write the bones of that song before you get the horns and everything, like, are you like writing a 3? You're like 3 chords. Come on, you could do better than that. Like, do you feel like a pressure to be like get a little more complex, or do you know that like this can be expanded into more?
Yeah, that was the whole. With each song that I write, I have like a mini assignment that I like put in my head, and I often do kind of go for complex. I when I started playing guitar, I was like really into John Mayer, so I was learning like weird John Mayer
stuff.
Chords.
Yeah.
And I also like, I love listening to jazz too. For this one, I mean, down to the backbeat of that, which is like the stomp clap clap stomp clap. You know, it was just like, okay, let's see how simple of a song you can make that would just be fun.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And it is. It's super fun to play live with the full band.
Sure.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah,
do you ever play live with the horn section?
I haven't since I moved out here. But back in Boston, I used to put on shows with a 7-piece band.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah, and we had a saxophone player that would jump in on
that's
it
awesome.
With us, too. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pretty
I love
cool.
horn sections.
Yeah, yeah.
Horn sections and string sections, I'm just like, ooh, what a luxury.
Yeah.
What a luxury. It's just like, ooh, you guys are so cool.
Yeah, right. Yeah, absolutely.
So tell us what else like you're working on as far as recording projects, or what kind of things you're working on with the EP.
Yeah. ever since I moved out here, it's been kind of like a whole process of like, I don't want to say reinventing, because, you know, I've really enjoyed my experiences as a songwriter thus far, and I've met a lot of really wonderful people and made some, like, you know, really awesome fans, too. And so I want, you know, I always want to be doing the folk singer-songwriter thing, but, there are pockets of the year that I get into where it becomes very experimental and almost like kind of electronic-y. So I've been kind of working on that and keeping my slate open for if people want to collaborate on that. And other than that, I've been jumping on other people's projects. Like I said, I do string work. Like I play violin, viola, and cello, and I do a lot of studio work that way. And And this year has been really more so about listening than projecting. And I think this is the first year I've done that since I started songwriting, where I've really kind of like taking a little bit more of a backseat. And I still perform like very often. Over the summer, I had a residency at a lobster shack.
Nice.
In West Hollywood.
What lobster shack is in West Hollywood?
The Cousins Maine Lobster.
Oh.
Mm. Amazing lobster tacos.
Okay.
And really, really nice stuff. It's not like what I would call like a high profile glamorous gig.
It's okay, most of them are not.
but they were they wanted to have me perform once or twice every weekend, and I would do 4-hour sets like straight.
Awesome.
And they offered me breaks, but like I was just like, whatever, I'll just do it. And I would play 4-hour sets.
No kidding.
Damn, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So. Oh, to be young again.
I know.
You know what? Since you have your violin here, why don't you play us something like
maybe I can do that. I can
30
do that.
Second minute ditty.
Okay, you play I'll take a violin song. Ditty.
I'll totally. Hold this. I'll hold
oh,
this.
Thank you. Hold on. Let me.
Oh, I like that pick holder.
I
on the
like
back
the,
of the head
strap there. Matching the guitar.
Yeah. Dude, you better watch out. Nikki's gonna take.
I got that.
Great.
That's my first guitar. My first. This is my first guitar, and it's my only acoustic guitar.
Very nice.
Wow.
That's a great idea. I really should do that.
Yeah, I like that guitar pick holder.
It's a pick holder on the back of the headstock, and it's the best idea
so smart.
Ever.
I got that. My kid just throws all my picks into the hole, into the sound hole, so I spend half the day like with my guitar inverted trying to get the damn picks out.
All right, let's play a little ditty for a minute.
Here, you might know this one.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. That's what that was, right?
No. No, it was Brian's chestnuts roasting on an open pot.
Ouch.
That's right. That was beautiful.
Yeah, very nice.
That's a great sound.
Yeah.
I love that little Christmas. She plays a little Christmas
I know. We're, it's the
I
time
was like,
of the year.
I need like some chestnuts on an open fire right now.
I have chestnuts at home. I'm going to cook them.
You know, you played my favorite Christmas song, too.
It's the
That's
best.
That's my favorite.
It's the best.
It's the best one.
Yeah.
It's the best one of them all.
Yeah.
Best one of them
all. I like Baby It's Cold Outside. A little rapey.
You're a little rapey.
No, I'm not. That's a terrible song. I'm just kidding.
Jesse, where can people find you before you play your last song?
On the internet.
So explain.
So we just turn on the internet button and then you're there? Is that how? Wow, that's very easy.
It's more or less how it works nowadays. I mean, you can just, you can type in Jesse Hansen, JesseHanson, like Mbop. From the 90s.
Nice.
No relation. But,
Oh, I'm sorry. Everybody's a huge Hanson.
Yeah.
We are in my house.
That's right.
But not the band. But anyway, the website... my website is jessehanson.me, and then I have a Facebook page. I have an Instagram. My friend David, who I don't know if he's been listening, he told me to plug that.
Nice.
Instagram, that's the big one. They just added a new live video feature, like Periscope or like Facebook Live. They just added that the other day.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
See, nice.
I'm on top of it.
I'm really not tech savvy at all, but I do post things.
I post things.
It's important
like,
to post. Posting
I post
is important.
Things
he
just
posts
to,
about his dog all
post
the time.
Things I do. My bulldog.
Oh.
Like I used to post about music all the time. Oh. Like I'm like, oh, yeah, we're playing. Like the funny thing is... I wrote the opening track for Ziggy Marley's record recently, and it's up for a Grammy this year.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But I still have posted more pictures of my bulldog.
Yeah.
Despite that news. Like, I'm like, I made one post about that, and it's been like 7 pictures of Otis. God, I love that dog.
Dogs are great.
It's the best. Anyways, what are you going to play us for your last song?
So this is the song, one of the songs that I've been working on for the EP. I guess long story short, I left a lot of things behind Massachusetts when I decided to come out here, and my brother and I, my brother actually flew out to Massachusetts so that he could drive with me out here, and we played 10 shows on the way out here.
That's awesome.
Yeah, my brother's a drummer, so it was really, really cool. But, you know, it was obviously like a very difficult and, you know, transformative process, and so I wrote a song called Arkansas, because that was probably the most mundane state that we passed through. It was beautiful in some areas, but some areas were just like, oh, boy. Mm. And when I first got here, it was like fighting the urge to want to go back home. So I wrote about going to Arkansas instead.
Cool. Let's hear it.
Okay. Arkansas, just before the hair was turned into a land I didn't know at all. And take me back to Michigan, to the place where my grandparents grew, where my family begins again. Oh, take me back. Take me back to the middle of Maine, to relive my greatest moments of New England summer days. Oh, take me back to Austin, Texas, where the music plays so loud there are no words, just only sounds. Oh, take me
such a treat to listen to.
I'm going
to
cry myself to sleep tonight.
Oh, so good. Your
I moved
so
from
good.
Pennsylvania. Like, this is my story, like what you're saying right here. So that one, yeah. I'll cry myself to sleep.
Mine is the sex change operation.
Well, hey, we all have our own.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
No, really.
No, but that's,
your music is really great. Like, I don't say that about a lot of new artists, but your music is something special.
Thank
and
you.
So I wish you the best of luck. We want to have you back.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas to all of our
Wake Happy Up Hollywood holidays listeners. Is the way to say it.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Yes, all of that. There Festivus.
Festivus for the rest of us.
Everybody's enjoying their feats of strength and big aluminum pole.
Check out jessiehansen.me, correct?
Yes, sir.
And check out the sexy
vegan.com. Thesexyvegan.com and 99publishing.com. You can get my new mashed potato cookbook.
Ooh, I like it.
Tis the season for mashed potatoes. When isn't it?
Tis the season.
Yes.
Well, on behalf of Brian Patton.
Different guy.
And myself.
Yes.
And Jesse Hansen. We'll see you guys next week.
Adios. Oh, I wasn't ready.